We're listening to music by Sergei Prokofiev, an excerpt from his Symphony No. 5, as performed last weekend in the Ohio Theater by the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Edwin Outwater. I'm Christopher Purdy, pleased to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend, where our topic for the hour is the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, its current very manifest artistic triumphs, and its financial questions as well. As is no surprise to anybody in this economy, the performing arts are suffering, along with a lot of other organizations and groups. And we're going to talk about solutions to keep the Columbus Symphony the centerpiece of the artistic life of Central Ohio. To help us do that, Martin Ingalls is chairman of the board of the Columbus Symphony. He is also the executive vice president and chief financial officer at Battelle. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Roland Valliere is the president and chief executive officer of the Columbus Symphony. We have a lot of presidents here today, so write this down. Roland, welcome.
Delightful to be here.
David Neva is the assistant concertmaster of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, so I'm going to start with you. What's an assistant concertmaster?
Assistant concertmaster is a third chair violin, and in the title it says that I assist the concertmaster, which means, for instance, if he is out for some reason, I will move up to the second chair. And if the second chair is out, I move up to the first chair. If there are details that need to go back to the section, what we call bowings or certain stylistic things that he would like to convey to the audience without disrupting the rehearsal, he will pass it back to me and I will pass it back to the section quietly without interrupting the flow of the rehearsal or the pace that the conductor might want to keep in the rehearsal.
So you and your colleagues on stage are very much, you are what we see and hear when we go to the orchestra, and my two other guests are responsible for the goings-on that make it possible.
Absolutely.
For what you folks do. Let me start with you, Mr. Inglis. As the chairman of the board of the symphony, Columbus Symphony has been in the news in the last 2 weeks. All news is good news, I guess, except when it's not. So what's the situation with the Columbus Symphony now? We know artistically they are in great order. What else is going on?
Well, there are a lot of things going on. On the positive side, I always think it's useful to start there, is that we've been working very closely with all of the musicians trying to plan a path forward. We're spending a lot of time looking at that. We brought in Roland, who we found is particularly creative. That's the reason we hired him, because we wanted to see what kind of things do you need to change in terms of presenting the product that the symphony has going forward. So a lot of effort going into that.
You are a recent sort of addition to the symphony family, and you're relatively new in Columbus, three or four years, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, it's amazing. 5 years have now passed since I came to Columbus.
Well, you look great, I must say. It's working for you. What did you find when you began your involvement with the Columbus Symphony in terms of the orchestra?
I found a wonderful group of players. I was amazed by the backgrounds that the players had, the depth, the education that they had. But I also found a fair amount of differences of opinion is perhaps the best way of putting it, and a lot of history where a lot of people had polarized views on the symphony. And what I've been working to do is to project, to make the musicians able to do what they have to do while trying to fix up some of the things in the background. But economic circumstances are very difficult for us at this time.
Why would a community not want a symphony orchestra?
Why would they not want a symphony orchestra?
I mean, you said there was a polarizing, you're polarizing points of view. So why?
No, I don't think it's necessarily polarized in terms of we don't need a symphony orchestra. It was what kind of symphony orchestra should we have? There are some who will never care for the kind of music that we present. They like other mediums. That's their absolute right. But I think there's a lot of recognition that symphony plays a big role in education, in actually bringing a different quality of life to a community. It's a very, very cornerstone of the arts here in Columbus.
And Roland Valliere, as president and CEO, you came to Columbus, I believe, last summer. I believe that's when you
began. That's right, August 3rd, to be precise.
Well, you wrote that down, didn't you? Your background is as a musician yourself, as an administrator, as an inventor, and you also have a technology background. How are you bringing all of those gifts to the plate?
Well, I mean, I think it's really a new day. You know, in terms of the, you know, the variety of entertainment and cultural choices that people have available to them today is just much broader and much wider than it was in times past. And by times past, I mean about a year ago. You know, it's just true. I mean, the Berlin Philharmonic has a digital concert hall where you can enjoy their content if you have a high-speed internet access anytime, any place. Really well done visually and in terms of the sound. And there's lots of experimentation going on. So I think it's a different world out there than it was even 10 years ago. And I think every orchestra needs to find a way to make its way in this new world so that it continue to be relevant and that the music can be made accessible to a wider audience.
Given the fact that the artistic product is quite good, and I'm here to tell you it is, if you don't know it is, and you should go to concerts, what is the immediate goal? What is your immediate goal? Is it putting people into seats in the Ohio Theater? You do speak quite often about the online possibilities and the digital concert halls, which is the way it's going just about everywhere now. Does that work hand in hand with getting people down there in person?
Well, these things are not mutually exclusive. I remember somebody told me back in the 1980s when the Chicago Cubs were looking to broadcast on television their home games at Wrigley Field, and there was a great deal of concern about that. The thinking was if they did that, it would cannibalize their local audience and that attendance at Wrigley Field would go down. And just the opposite happened. I understand that they've had the greatest increase in attendance, live attendance, at Wrigley Field over that period of time as compared to all other Major League Baseball teams. So I think at the end of the day, you know, one needs to step back and say, you know, why do we exist in the first place? What is the purpose of the Columbus Symphony? When you think about that, it's really to connect the music to people. And as I said earlier, you know, there's just more choices and more ways to do that. So, you know, we are the vessel that connects the music. We're not the music itself. And I think it's a very important thing. So I think our notion is that through making our wonderful concerts available more broadly, actually more people will attend live events because they'll have multiple points of access.
If you are working hard to do that and do things online and having people out who can't drive to the Ohio Theater, but they're too far away listening to concerts, how does that work for you and make it worth your while, frankly?
How do we reach people that can't make it to the Ohio Theater?
I mean, how do you make any money off them?
You charge them.
Okay. How's that working?
Well, we have, you know, we're just putting our toe in the water. You know, I think there are two, Martin would say there's sort of two dimensions to this. Generators, that is activity that generates interest, and then the actual results themselves, the consequences of people actually buying a ticket. And I do think we've got to build earned revenue going forward.
Martin, we've actually started to study this. Well, we do believe that we need to connect to people more. But for those who buy, you know, download iTunes, and they have the 99-cent version or the premium $1.29 version, you've got to sell a heck of a lot of iTunes before you create the money. So to Roland and I, this is a generator. It generates interest in the orchestra. And by the way, ticket sales themselves are probably inadequate. Right. Well, we know they're inadequate to cover the cost of
the
orchestra.
That's true everywhere, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So what it does, though, it creates more interest, and then perhaps it helps generate greater donations. And donations are a big part of what we need to be able to present this forum.
David Neva wants to chime in with that. He's going to lean into the mic and talk to us.
Before we lose the Wrigley Field connection, being a native Chicagoan, there's nothing like going to a Cubs game at Wrigley Field, and there's nothing like going to a symphony concert at the Ohio Theater.
I agree. I agree with that. But, you know, your point is well taken. You want to stretch a wide net there, and you want to reach as many people as you can, hoping that maybe if 1% of them bought tickets and came to the Ohio Theater, that would fill the hall every night.
Mm-hmm. That is great. By the way, on ticket sales, one of the positive things we have at the moment is ticket sales this year are at their best levels, I think, since 2002.
That's correct. Classical sales are at the highest level since 2002.
Well, let me ask David Neva, because you sit on the stage before people come in. You see the audience, not when you're playing, but you see them come in and you see them at breaks and things like that. What are you seeing? Are you seeing more people? What variety of people are you seeing? Are you seeing younger? Are you seeing older? What do you and your colleagues see when you look out there?
Frankly, I see, being an optimist, all kinds of people. I see 10-year-olds. I see 80-year-olds. I see 50-year-olds. And it's really encouraging to look out into the hall and see every seat filled. The Ohio Theater, it's difficult to do. Our attendance has been both good and bad, but as far as the audience is concerned, the people love us. The people get to know us. People come up to the front of the stage and shake my hand.
Yeah.
And David, how are you doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's a very important connection to build with the audience, is that we become their neighbors, their friends, their people who are paying the taxes in the town, the people who are cutting the grass next door. Not forgive this, but the people in penguin suits scratching away on wood boxes.
And let's talk a little bit, too, about I want to talk about programming in the next segment, because you have announced early the details of your season for next season. Generally, that was done in the late summer. You've already, Roland, rolled that out.
That's right. We launched the Classical Series, next season's Classical Series, in January, last month.
How do you create buzz? Buzz is a word that's bandied about, and I kind of like that word. I'm a little dated. But how do you create buzz for a product like this, for something that is emotion-based?
Well, it really is all about the music. And so you present fantastic music, and in the case of next season, some of the most renowned or best-loved works in the classical repertoire, and you play that music greatly. If you play great pieces that are played wonderfully, as this orchestra does, then people turn out. And particularly if you find ways to make the music all the more compelling or accessible or understandable for people that are not familiar with it, provide those kinds of tools, then it makes all the more relevant and all the more enjoyable.
Here's a question for anyone. Is it more to the point to sell the orchestra rather than specific pieces of music, or can you separate them?
Well, I mean, no, you can't separate them. Goes hand in hand. A lot of places, try to brand the orchestra around the conductor, and obviously the conductor or the music director is an important part of this. But conductors, just like managers, tend to come and go. But the musicians are the orchestra. And so I think it's very important to make that evident to the public.
David, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, think of it in terms of a sports team. I mean, we have a coach who would be the conductor. We have the players who are the musicians. And we have the trainers, who are the gentlemen sitting to my left, who are, securing the nuts and bolts. And it's a team. It really is. It's a team effort. And the entire concert experience depends on that.
We're talking about the Columbus Symphony today on this edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy, David Neva, the assistant concertmaster, Roland Vallier, the CEO and president of the orchestra, and Martin Inglis, the chief financial officer, executive VP at Battelle, and the chairman of the orchestra's board are my guests, and we are back in 1 minute.
On your morning commute, get the stories behind the headlines with Morning Edition.
With loan documents spread out across a dining room table, 41-year-old Dr. Michelle Bazzuti agreed to tell her story of student debt.
All my colleagues were taking these loans out. I thought it was, what you do. I thought it was going to be fairly easy to pay these back, so I didn't know what I was getting into.
Start your day with the award-winning WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. 28 degrees in downtown Columbus, scattered snow showers today, an accumulation of 1 to 3 inches this afternoon, and a high of 30 degrees. Also some gusty winds, wind gusts of up to 35 miles per hour. Areas of blowing snow tonight, an additional accumulation of around an inch and a low of 25 degrees. A little more snow on Saturday and a high of 32. All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
It If you have yet to hear the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, you're hearing a bit of them now in a selection from Eduard Lalo's Cello Concerto. The soloist Amit Peled, the conductor was Edward Outwater. That was performed last weekend in the Ohio Theater. I wanted to whet your appetite for that. I also want to make the point that you can go to the Columbus Symphony's website, columbussymphony.com. You'll learn anything you need to know to participate fully in all of their programs from that website. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. Yes, our topic for the day is the Columbus Symphony with David Neva, Roland Valliere, and Martin Inglis. Martin, let's go back to you now with what's the immediate need for the fiscal picture.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about the business. I think everybody recognizes that there was some major restructuring at the symphony, major reductions in cost, and the musicians took some major reductions in their compensation as part of that. Well, circumstances have changed again, and we're all working together again. We recognize that we have to play our part, and this is the collective we, musicians, management, overhead, and we're looking at doing that to further reduce our costs. But at the same time as we do that, we need help from others to help us as move forward. In particular, it's in the area of contributions. And I know there are a lot of choices out there at the moment in contributions and a lot of difficult decisions to make. But we just, for example, announced a $100,000 challenge grant where an anonymous donor has put up $100,000, and dollar for dollar up to that $100,000, that is matched. So you sort of double your money. Everybody out there, any amount, if you're really interested in the symphony, if you're really interested in what we're trying to do, it would help us if you could participate and contribute.
If you're really interested in the symphony, also, you need to buy tickets. 292-8513 is the number to call right now. If you'd like to participate in this conversation about the Columbus Symphony, 292-8513. You can also send me an email at allsides@wosu.org. ColumbusSymphony.com is the website. We're going to link that to our website as well, so you can do one-stop shopping. But again, the point is made. There is a $100,000 challenge grant on the table for the symphony, and they also want you to go to concerts, so buy tickets. Roland, do you want to add something to the challenge grant? Because you made an announcement from the stage the other night.
I did. It is a wonderful opportunity, and we encourage you to step to the plate right away because it would be a timely gift in a way that would make a real difference. You can do that by just going to the website itself. You actually can make the contribution at columbussymphony.com, or you can mail in a check or even call our main number and make a contribution and a donation that way.
David Neva, tell me the path that when we sit in the theater and we look at you musicians before you're playing and you're tuning and you're preparing yourself for the performance, what is the path that gets you a job in a symphony orchestra?
Hundreds of thousands of hours of practice, hundreds of thousands of dollars of lessons and tuitions for fine conservatories, and love and dedication, and which continues throughout our life. My personal experience, I grew up in a family of musicians, and I had a little plastic violin in my hand when I was 3 years old, and I'm told that basically I went around and beat it up against the wall until I was about five, and then I started formal lessons. And from the time I was five, maybe I practiced 15 minutes a day, and that went up to anywhere to 8 hours a day in my early teens all the way to college and through college, and studying music history, studying real regular history, studying art, studying theory. It's a highly skilled – we're almost tradesmen. It's
craftsman.
Craftsman. One of my theory teachers said, you know, David, you're in trade school, and we are highly skilled craftsmen who actually are lucky to do what we do, and we do love doing it. But it's, for instance, for a concert, for any given concert, the concert last week, it would involve at least 10 to 12 hours of preparation on my own.
Outside of the hall.
Outside of the hall.
Yeah, that's
outside of rehearsal time. On top of the 40 years that I've already been practicing, anywhere between 15 minutes and 8 hours a day.
Tell me a little bit about the financial hits that you and your colleagues have had to take in the last several years. Where is that now?
They're tough. All of us have had to look elsewhere to supplement the income. We understand that times are tough. We understand that things are the way that they are right now. And as Martin said so well, that we're trying to work together to stabilize now and prevent it from happening in the future and build from here.
The number to call is 292-8513. If you'd like to join the conversation about the Columbus Symphony, you can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We have a call from Dan. Dan, are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, this is Dan. I'm an Ohio State graduate student, and I just wanted to make a comment that the Ohio Union Activities Board subsidizes tickets for the students, and it's a great program that is able to get younger people. I know you mentioned that it's great to see people from 10 to 80 years old in the audience, and it's important to start students when they're young to be continuing patients for the arts, and having this subsidized ticket program is great, especially for those of us who are struggling as grad students, being starving students. So,
Dan, how does a student get a ticket from that source?
From that source, well, right now we go to the stadium where the OUAB is based. Later, when the Ohio Union opens, we can go and buy tickets weekly to any of the shows that are coming up, whether it's Pops, whether it's the Symphony and the Classical event. We just head over to the Union, and the tickets are as cheap as $5 to $15.
Good to know, Dan. Thanks very much.
Fabulous.
Again, the number 292-8513. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on that. We actually have a performance coming up on May 1st called Beyond the Score. And it's a multimedia performance with live orchestra, narrator, actor. There's a screen with some multimedia images and that sort of thing around a Mozart piano concerto. It's a special off-the-series concert that we're doing that I think will be particularly compelling to people that are, you know, interested in experiencing classical music in a bit of a different way, particularly students at OSU and in other places.
So check that out with the OSU Student Activities Board. Martin Inglis is chairman of the board. What is the challenge for you to get everybody on stage and off stage on the same page and avoid the sort of T-shirt blog group splintering that happened a couple of years ago?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is you have to have total transparency. And we have total transparency. Everything that management sees, the board sees, that's available to all of the musicians. The second thing is, like everything else, you have to communicate regularly. And that is why Roland and I – sorry, we're going to give a very poor joke here. It's almost become – we call it the Roland and Martin Roadshow, right?
Okay. That makes sense to those of us of a certain age.
Right.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying is somewhat.
Where we go out and we are trying to sell our message, right? We're trying to sell the fact that we have a new story to tell, that we are different. We're working together. We're working on different ways of presenting the music. It is not the same old, same old. By the way, if I could go back to Ohio State for a moment, is that we actually went in and had a great review with Gordon Gee and some of his staff and some of the ideas that we're thinking about. I'm pleased to say he was very engaged and endorsed and was encouraging us to continue with the ideas that we were putting forward. So that was very good.
What are specific ways you can do that? You can reach across the sort of audience that you're accustomed to seeing to get in people you'd like to see come that haven't been attending.
What can we do to attract new audiences?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing is reach out. Let them know we're here and invite them to come. And then I think also providing tools that can help them. I mean, to many people, you know, classical music is kind of a foreign language, you know, that they don't understand. And so we can provide tools or ways to help them discover the music. I think they'll discover a whole new universe in a way that they'll find can really be quite enjoyable.
David, do you want to speak?
I want to touch on the understand language. Many times in my career, people have come to me, oh, wow, orchestral music, classical music, that's great, but I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to enjoy it. I want to make a sports analogy again. I love watching basketball. I have no idea how these refs call the fouls, but I still love watching the game. Either do the players, right? But it's an experience. It's almost a five-sense experience when you go to the orchestra. It's irreplaceable, and it's live.
And the amount of thrill you get is very worthwhile for what you have to pay to get in. Because and you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to get in. I must say, in the Ohio Theater, there are no really bad seats in terms of hearing. It's my
– Or sight.
Or sight, really. You made the point earlier, and I think we need to repeat that the hall that the Columbus Symphony plays in, which we all love and is beautiful, is not typical because it's so large. Severance Hall is, what, 1,600 seats?
12, I think.
1,200 seats in Cleveland. Symphony Hall in Boston is about, what, 1,700, if that?
Yeah.
I mean, so basically you're being asked to sell a lot more tickets than a lot of other orchestras are.
Yeah, it's about 2,800 seats at the Ohio Theater because it's a sumptuous movie.
Yeah, it's a little movie theater. Right. We have an email from a listener from Ace who wants to know, he would love to donate and be involved, but he's unemployed and unemployment's very high in Ohio. How do you get around that? I don't know.
This is the thing.
What does he do? Does he want to volunteer?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That's a form of donating.
That's right. That
we'll
certainly
raise
is.
Money
yes.
from friends.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. We have a call from Pat who wants to ask about guest conductors. Hello, Pat. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I wanted to say I'd probably been a season ticket holder for 40 years and a donor every year to the symphony and enjoy it so much.
Thank you.
But I have to say, I know you're probably going to say no to this question, but I really rather enjoy having guest conductors. And I guess to have an orchestra like ours and have just nothing but a series of guest conductors without having a permanent one is probably a no-no. But I wondered if you could discuss, for example, does it actually save money for us in the long run? And it might be very hard on the orchestra members to adjust to, a series of guest conductors. But I have to say, as a constant attendee of the symphony, I really rather enjoy it, and I would like your comment.
Thanks, but David Neva, who is a member of the orchestra, is very anxious to speak to this.
I'll speak about the artistic side. We have a job, and we can do our job, and actually we like playing for guest conductors a lot. And we can play with anybody. That's what we are trained to do. It is important to have guest conductors because it brings fresh blood, fresh ideas to the face of the orchestra. However, a music director, not only as a face of the orchestra, helps to develop the individuality of the orchestra. It the Columbus Symphony sound, what we do and what we do best. And when a guest conductor comes in, if that is solidly formed, the guest conductor has the pleasure of working with that in its current form. A series of guest conductors could be it doesn't lend to the team aspect of an orchestra.
What, aside from the talent, which is an obvious part, makes a great music director? What do you need?
One of my teachers said, in order to be a good music director, you have to have at least as much knowledge as the collective knowledge in front of you.
Good Lord, that's going to be hard.
That's a lot.
That's hard.
You have to have personality. Basically, you're up in front of a bunch of people who have their own opinions and their own personalities. You have to convince them of your way. Or even if you don't convince them, you have to convince them that, okay, I will do it your way.
And how many rehearsals or how much time would it take for an orchestra musician to say, this person isn't going to make the connection's not happening?
I would say 5 minutes. No,
really?
But that's not true. I mean, we're all open-minded, and it takes two or three rehearsals. I mean, you have to see how the music director deals with an overture. You have to see how they deal with a big symphonic work. And to my mind, the most important thing is how they accompany a soloist.
Okay.
Because that's where they really have to step out of the way. And they have to...
Speaks to the talent of the soloist, too. And sometimes,
exactly.
Right, that's assuming a lot as well. 292-8513 is the number to call. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Martin Inglis, give us some short-term goals.
Short-term goals is that I start with the first one, which is raise more money, right?
Okay.
We need money.
Okay, but times are hard. Most people don't have any extra money right now. So how do you get around that? David, that was very good. Volunteering is good, but still, cash is cash.
It is. And this is, as I say, there are a lot of choices, but we live on cash and we have no cash reserve. We're unlike other orchestras who perhaps can live off their endowments during tough times. We literally live month to month by getting the cash in the door.
Why does the orchestra not have a cash reserve, have an endowment after 50 years in business?
You're predating me, so
okay,
I cannot go back into history.
Okay, me too. So there's no – okay. So that's what you inherited. You inherited an orchestra with no endowment.
With no cash. So we need to do that. But we can't lose sight of where we're going as well. So while we're raising cash, we have to structure for the future. We have to get next season set up with great music. And we have to continue to work on our new business model. We have to do all things at the same time.
Can you give us, Roland, some hints about what that new business model is going to entail?
Well, we alluded to some of them earlier.
Right.
You know, for example, there really are sort of four cornerstones of the model. And the first is, you know, how you access the music itself. And we see sort of three ways to do that in the future. One is the wonder of experiencing the music in the concert hall itself, which is a singular kind of experience. But two, we're considering in all this is in process and in development, the notion of simulcasting the concerts to alternative venues, which means you'll have the opportunity to enjoy the concerts in other places of various size and environments, in addition to enjoy them at the Ohio Theater, either because it's not convenient for you to go to the theater or you'd like to have a different kind of experience, perhaps, you know, around a dinner party or something like that. So the second part, and you would pay money. There would be income generated through these activities because there would be a cost of buying a pass or buying a ticket. And then the third is on demand, the notion that you can enjoy the concerts when and where you would like to experience them, again, for a price. You would buy a virtual ticket or something like that. We've talked about a total access kind of platinum subscription, which would give the subscriber the opportunity to enjoy the concerts wherever and whenever they wanted, even more than once. If you enjoy the performance live in the Ohio Theater so much that you would like to share it or listen to it again, you could do that. So that's the first cornerstone, these various points of access through live, simulcast, and on demand. And then the second ways to help audience members enjoy the concert. It could be simple video introductions by the conductors themselves. It could be low tech in the concert hall and those sorts of things. And then the third are what I'm calling musician connections, so building relationships. David alluded a little bit to this earlier, the notion that the musicians are the Columbus Symphony and introduce it, and they all have wonderfully compelling autobiographies. And to introduce them to the audience members and get the audience members to get to know them more, I think builds the brand and builds loyalty and is just an interesting way for the audience members to enjoy the concert.
But it is true. It breaks an intermission. So some of your colleagues, David, do remain on stage, or they're on stage for part of it when they're not playing and the audience is milling about. And there are always people coming to the lip of the stage. I've seen people showing kids that's a cello, that's whatever, you know. And so that people like that. So I think, Roland, that's a really good way to go, to connect people with individual musicians as part of the band, if you can do that.
Absolutely. And people enjoy that greatly because just some of the things David was saying, you know, the years of study, the value of the violin, the various experiences, the passion for music, all those things are just really compelling and I think really help in the area of music discovery. And then the fourth is this notion of excellence.
Hang on to that one right now. Excellence is a good one to hang on to. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We are back in 1 minute, 30 seconds as we continue a conversation about the Columbus Symphony. 292-8513.
I've wept for those who suffer long.
On the next Fresh Air, on what would have been Johnny Cash's 78th birthday, we dedicate the show to him. We'll hear some music from the sixth and final album in his American recording series, produced by Rick Rubin. And we'll listen back to interviews with Cash and Rubin. Join us.
It's in the soul to feel such things.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson moderates Columbus on the Record. The program features well-respected journalists and veteran political observers offering insight and analysis of the top stories of the week. Watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 9:30 on WOSU TV. And remember, you can hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archived shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/allsides. 28 degrees in downtown Columbus, scattered snow showers today, an accumulation of 1 to 3 inches, and gusty winds with gusts of up to 35 miles per hour. Another inch of snow accumulation tonight and a low of 25. Snow showers for Saturday, and we could see an additional inch on Saturday, a high of 32. All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Music written toward the end of the Second World War in Russia by Sergei Prokofiev, his Fifth Symphony, as performed last weekend in the Ohio Theater by the Columbus Symphony, conducted by Edwin Outwater. And I'm proud to remind everybody that all of the Classical Series Saturday Night Concerts are broadcast live on WOSU 89.7 FM. I'm Christopher Purdy. My guests are David Neva, the Assistant Concertmaster of the Columbus Symphony. Roland Valliere is the Columbus Symphony's President and Chief Executive Officer, and Martin Inglis is the Chairman of the Board. He is also the Executive Vice President and CFO at Battelle. David Neva, I got to give it to Roland, so go ahead.
By the way, is one of those nasty passages that takes hours of
that's
preparation.
That's right. I was going to say, there's a lot going on in that 30 seconds right there. Never mind the whole piece. Excellence, Roland Valliere.
It gets back to the very reason that the Columbus Symphony exists in the first place, and if we believe it really is to connect the music, the people, inside and outside of the concert hall. You know, what can we, the Columbus Symphony, be the best in the world at? You know, perhaps the Berlin Philharmonic is the best in the world at executing the music that's on the page. We can be best in the world. We can be a terrific orchestra that plays wonderfully. But I think we can connect the music to people and focus on that through these variety of ways that we've been discussing. In a way that I think distinguishes us from even what others are doing.
But in a way, I think it's more crucial for you and the Columbus Symphony to connect with this community than it is for the Berlin Philharmonic musicians to connect with Berlin, because they operate to live on a worldwide, and you want to start at home and
exactly
then build from
right
there. Martin Inglis, you were talking earlier off mic about family concerts and outreach.
Yes, well, I think it's also important to recognize that one of the fundamental purposes that we have here is education. We have education. We get very much involved with the schools. We have youth orchestras. We touch a lot of children. And Roland, perhaps you can explain about the upcoming sort of concert that will apply in this.
Well, we have a family concert this Sunday, actually, at 3 o'clock at the Rife Center. And our family concerts are wonderful opportunities for parents and their children to experience or to be introduced to classical music. It's about a 45-minute to an hour program. And we've got one right around the corner. We also have the Chieftains
tomorrow night,
8 o'clock
at
the Vets. And they're a wonderful Irish band that's performed with Van Morrison and many others, and it's going to be just a really enjoyable, entertaining evening.
That's a very good point, because and I think this is a lot of what people don't see in here. You have the Chieftains tomorrow night at Vets. You have the family concert at the Capitol Theater downtown on Sunday.
Right.
And then the following weekend, you're playing Mahler, for goodness sake, in the Ohio Theater. So it is about variety, and the demands on the musicians to do that kind of a wide net of a program must be –
We are very versatile, and yes, it is tough. I mean, believe it or not, sometimes a Pops concert can be actually harder than a classical, because you're jumping from
– You're moving around a lot.
You have two pages of this and two pages of that and roadmaps to follow. By roadmaps, I mean cuts, and the music jumps all over the place. But I wanted to say one other thing about education, and for us as musicians, there's nothing more thrilling than sitting in front of a bunch of second, third, fourth, fifth graders – and playing the opening of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and seeing all these people, the kids may be tired, and all of a sudden they perk up and their eyes go wide and they're like, there it is. I've heard that before. I mean, that's worth
– I've always said that if you work in the arts, you're very blessed, because once in a great while you get to see the lights turn on.
Exactly.
You look at and that's a great blessing. We have Sally on the phone who has a question about donating to the symphony. Hello, Sally.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've been a subscriber to the symphony ever since I've lived here, and I finally found a great way to contribute. I contribute $25 a month directly from my checking account. And it's not something I've heard you talk about, but it's so easy. People can do it through their credit card, too, I think. But the checking account is nice because I have control over it. I can do it when I want to. But actually, it's on automatic bill pay. And so you get it And actually, it's $50 a month, I think.
Oh, even better.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. And that's a very good point. You know, a lot of people now are texting donations. Are you going to look into that technology as well? Apparently, everybody is, but apparently there's a lot going on to do that.
Yeah, we are looking into it. It's not available from us yet, but it's one of the things we are looking at.
Roland Valier, you've announced the new season 2010-2011. We all think, oh, that's far away, but it's when you wake up, it's going to be here, so you need to start planning. What's exciting you about this new season? Let's talk a little specifics.
It really is a repertoire-driven season from the perspective of having the Verdi Requiem, Handel's Messiah, Beethoven's Violin Concerto, Scheherazade. I mean, these are some of the greatest works that have been ever composed. And we're bundling them together over the course of the season. We have a number of guest conductors, including Jean-Brice Zaytouni, who's coming back, who's been received wonderfully.
People are very hot about him. He's the young Canadian conductor. Is that right?
That's Jean-Marie exactly
Zaytouni.
Right.
He got the buzz.
Yep.
Yeah, his appearances did that.
Chaz Weatherby, our wonderfully talented concertmaster, is playing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. And we've got the extraordinarily talented pianist Long, coming for a special concert in January of next year. So it's a season of chestnuts where there's something for everyone to enjoy, as well as some less familiar works as well. Stravinsky's Judica and
Card Game. How do you get someone? How do you compel somebody? If someone's listening to us right now, they've never been. They think they're the kind of people that think, that's pretty good. They're vaguely aware that the orchestra exists, and they think it's probably a good thing, and yes, but they haven't yet shown up for a concert. So let's get that person to come to a concert. How do we do that?
Try it. You might like it.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, the opening concert would be a good sampler. It's an all Beethoven program in October, the Violin Concerto and the Pastoral, which is the sixth symphony. Does it get much better than that, particularly if you're not familiar with classical music common? It'll be like enjoying a beautiful sunrise.
That's a marvelous conductor, too. You invited Gunther Herbig, who's been your artistic advisor for a number of years. 292-8513 in our remaining moments, talking about the Columbus Symphony. I'm Christopher Purdy. My guests are David Neva, who is the orchestra's assistant concertmaster, which means he's a violinist. Roland Valier is the president and chief executive officer of the Columbus Symphony, and Martin Ingalls is the chairman of the symphony's board. He serves as executive vice president and chief financial officer at Battelle. And let's talk about probably the favorite for a lot of people, the summertime picnic with the Pops. Is that coming back, Martin Ingalls?
Yes.
That went away, and that annoyed a lot of people.
But we came back last
year. Yes, you did.
And this year is coming back full strength. In fact, it's just outside of your studio
on
the lawns of Chem Abstracts, right? And I was told great news. Our colleagues over there at Chem Abstracts, very strong supporters, they're saying they're going to bring the video screens back.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, that's wonderful, yes.
So the answer is you'll be able to sit in the lawn and be able to see from almost any position. It's just going to be another great, great summer of music.
We also have the Popcorn Pops for the kids.
Yeah.
What a great way to spend a Friday or Saturday evening, a few hours on the lawn dancing with the kids and Albert George.
No one's better than Albert George in getting the kids to dance. Albert George Schramm is
If you haven't seen the Pajama-rama,
you haven't really experienced. He's conducting tomorrow night. Is that correct in Vets?
He is. That's
with
correct.
With the Chieftains.
8 o'clock tomorrow night with the Chieftains at the Vets. That's
so
correct.
I mean, you're all about variety, and that is important. I mean, to bookend that with Mahler is pretty – in the same eight-day period is pretty, you know, impressive, I must say.
With the family concert on Sunday at 3, you know, lots of variety.
292-8513. We're waiting on a call. Someone's on hold, but we'll get to that in just a minute. So, Martin Ingalls, your immediate goal is to raise more money. What is the financial picture? What happened? Nobody has any money right now is the mantra you're hearing.
Yeah, that is correct. What happened was that we were progressing reasonably well through the end of the year. And then January, it was really contributions. As we said, ticket sales were going very well. But contributions dried up quite significantly in January, and they've been running at a lower level. And contributions make up more than 40% of our income. So it's very, very significant
for
us.
Now, let's make it clear to everybody, when you say contributions, that is not ticket sales.
No, that is not ticket sales.
That is unearned income. I hate that phrase, but that's what they mean.
Yeah, it is. It's donations from individuals. It's donations from corporations. And by the way, some of our major corporations in town have been wonderful. They've really been stepping to the plate. but many corporations are also going through difficult times. So we just need everybody to participate. That's what we're asking for. We'll do our bit on cost. We'll do our bit on great music. Maybe you could do a little bit on buying some more tickets and giving a little more money.
Tickets aren't, but donations are tax deductible.
Good point as well. We have a call from Frank. Hello, Frank. Are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Frank.
I was listening to your broadcast, and I thought it was interesting. I don't contribute much, but I do listen to a lot of classical music and stuff that comes off of NPR. What about a farm system to build future audiences, future contributors, like they do in baseball or football, basketball, Pop Warner leagues and things like that? That is, I saw once where somebody in Brazil or Argentina had started teaching just the community how to play different instruments.
Oh, the El Sistema, which is something we've talked about before. David Neva, when he said farm system, your eyes lit up. You made the baseball analogy. Can you talk? Thank you, Frank, for that suggestion.
This is partly what our education system is all about, and what we're trying to do is we go and play for kids in the schools. We play for them in the theater. Most of us also teach privately. And we train whether these people become professional musicians or not is – it's not irrelevant, but in a way it doesn't matter because we develop a love for something that is a reproduction of some of the greatest creations of mankind. And it's a wonderful way to escape, if you will. As far as a farm system, that is how I would say we develop a farm system. The farm systems for the players are the schools and the conservatories.
I have had a number of parents say to me that, oh, this Columbus Symphony came to my kid's school last Tuesday, and I didn't know that. And so what goes on that someone like me or a regular symphony, Ohio theater goer, might not be aware of? How much of that is going on?
Well, our educational programs actually are quite robust. We have youth orchestras.
You have three, I think,
don't
you? That's
right. Yeah. In fact, it was just a wonderful showcase performance last weekend here at OSU. You know, we've got young people's concerts that we perform at the theater where kids are bussed in. We go into the schools and perform in the schools themselves. So I mentioned the family concerts. We have a variety of programs that we do that are quite robust and quite effective.
In fact, also when we have some of our key soloists come in, they take the time out and they go and do master classes with various constituents.
What is a master class? It's where the artist will be given a certain number of students, let's say three or four, over the course of an hour or two, most likely two if it's four. And these kids will come in and play whatever they are playing. And the artist will help them.
You know, it means a lot to a young kid.
Absolutely.
It means a great deal to a young kid to have someone like you or one of your colleagues or a guest soloist come in and do that.
I mean, Absolutely.
Talk about turning the lights on. I've seen that happen. I've been 15 feet away from it and seen it happen. And
it's wonderful. I've experienced it as a student, and it's irreplaceable.
Teacher. Yeah. We have Ruth calling in. She has a suggestion for fundraising. Hello, Ruth. You're on.
Yes. I had a friend suggest to me, why don't we have a bond sale for an endowment fund?
Is that legal? I mean, it's a good question. Go ahead. All right.
Well, some commercial artists have done just that. Right. David Bowie, I believe, has
explain how that would work, Roland.
Or Martin,
to explain Martin, how that would work. Chief Financial Officer. Ruth, thank you for your question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's an interesting idea, and I don't want to throw cold water on it, but I think there are a lot of things at the moment where we're trying to raise bonds in the city.
Yeah.
You know what I would do? I would settle for a healthy cash reserve at the moment.
What is the relationship of the Columbus Symphony, if any, and I don't know the answer to this, with city government?
Oh, we keep closely in touch with city government. We keep closely in touch with the mayor's office, with the county commissioners. They sometimes have some programs, particularly from the city, where they arrange for matching funds. Actually, the county commissioners have arranged as well, Franklin County, matching funds with there was something called Thrive in Five for a while. But they try and facilitate things for us.
Talk also about every time people turn around and they talk about the arts groups downtown, that people say, well, downtown is not inviting. Downtown Columbus doesn't work. Nobody goes down there. Do you agree with that? And is that something that you are involved in discussions with in boosting that up and changing that perception or reality?
Well, actually, look at what the city's doing. Look at what the corporate community is doing. They've got this downtown development committee all set up. You look at what's going on the Scioto Mile. You've got
what behind, is going up? Fill us in.
There is a whole load of redevelopment going on the riverfront. Fantastic walkways and new facilities down there. They're developing, as you know, right behind the theater, the Ohio Theater, a park downtown, which I think will be tremendous. So there's a lot of work going in to try and make it a more attractive place to both live, work, and visit.
Do you hope to benefit from that? I mean, do you, you know, what if people, if more people started coming downtown to hang out, and they had their wallets and they had and they're bored, they want something to do. How are you going to grab them? How about lunchtime concerts? They used to do concerts on the State House lawn. Do you see that rolling ever coming back?
Sure.
In the good
sure.
weather.
Yeah. And Martin mentioned the park, and I think there'll be opportunities there as well. I think it's going to be a band shell, and I think it'll be a terrific setting to people come and enjoy the performances outdoors.
We have 3 minutes left to this conversation, and I want to ask each of you what your immediate concerns are and what your hopes are in terms of short-term goals. Get us from there's still a half a season left now, and there are great concerts coming up almost every day, it sounds like, in the next couple of weeks. And then the new season coming up. David Neva, what is the concern and the hope of you and your colleagues on stage?
To finish the season with flying colors.
Okay. All right. How are you doing with that? Do you think that that's...
I think musically we're
musically
going to be
is not a problem.
We're
right.
going to be great. And as Martin so eloquently said, we need some help.
Roland, how about you?
I think to generate the financial resources so that we can build forward effectively and not continually be faced with the short-term challenges that we seem to be faced with periodically.
How about, Martin, how realistic is it now to start talking about – I mean, you must be talking about building an endowment or starting an endowment. I know that right now you're bailing water out of the ship, but still.
No, I think I keep going back. We would settle at the moment for a healthy cash reserve. That would be a great start. I mean, my message to you is that –
Start being the key word.
Yes. Right? We are creating a vision. We are creating something, a place where we want to go to. We need some help near term to get us from here to there. Everybody needs to be involved.
And the best way to be involved right now is?
Well, we have this challenge grant. It's a wonderful $100,000 challenge grant. The best way to be involved is to make a contribution either by calling the Symphony's phone number or to going online to columbussymphony.com and making a contribution, and also coming and give yourself a break. Get out of the hustle and bustle and come and actually enjoy a performance.
228-8600.
In our last 90 seconds, we had an email. Somebody does want an update on the search for a new music director. What's the update?
Well, the update is it's in process.
Okay, help me out a little more than that. Where is the process? How many people are you looking at? Are there any finalists? Are there any?
Well, if you look at next season, by the way, the season is online also at columbussymphony.com, the remainder of this season as well as the season next year, and you'll see that we have a number of guest conductors there next year who are obviously very interested in seeing some again, some for the first time.
David Neva, do you have a favorite?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, no.
Okay.
I want the best person for the job.
Have you found them yet? You don't have to say a name, but is there somebody out there that you have?
There are more than one.
There's more than one.
There are
okay.
more than one, in
so,
my opinion.
So do you know how I can tell people right now what to do if they're really curious? They can go to concerts, and they can buy tickets and go to concerts to really – I think it's fun. People will make their own opinions as
it's
well.
It's important with a music director that everybody is on – everybody's happy.
Is that ever possible?
The public, the musicians – and the management.
Okay, in our last 35 seconds, tomorrow night at Vets at 8 o'clock, the Chieftains, Albert George Schramm conducting the Columbus Symphony Pops. Sunday afternoon, Young People's Concert. And next
Family Concert.
Family Concert. And next weekend in the Ohio Theater. I'm Christopher Purdy. My thanks to Roland Valier, David Neva, and Martin Inglis. All Sides Weekend. We've talked about the Columbus Symphony. This is listener support at WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.